Today we'll be continuing, actually we'll be concluding my summer sermon series. That is too much of a tongue twister for me. We've been doing it for 12 weeks and I've never said it straight once. Today we'll be concluding that, and then I'll update you sometime soon on how the book is based on all that is going as well. So again, welcome. We are glad that you're here today.
This one is where it's 2015 by a group called Rob. Your mom don't get it, and your dad don't get it, Uncle John don't get it. You can't tell Grandma, cause her heart can't take it, and she might not make it. They say, don't dare, don't you even go there, putting off your long hair, you and your tall. Till you wake up, go put on your makeup, this is just a phase you're gonna outgrow. There's something wrong in the village, in the village. Oh, they stare in the village, in the village. Oh, there's nothing wrong with you.
For you today. One is our scripture reading, and then I will tell you about the next one as soon as that is done. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. I'm reading the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that. Hear now these words. Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Maybe add blessing and understanding the reading of those words. I also want to do one reading from Ana Maria Isasi Diaz, which is from her book In La Lucha, which means in the struggle, and which she says, "Authority in the church has too often been used as a way to silence, to exclude, and to maintain control. But for our communities, authority cannot mean domination. It must mean service. It must mean empowering the people of God to act together. Real authority is not in the power to command. It is in the ability to create comunidad, to nurture life, and to strengthen those whom the world has tried to keep weak."
Now, this is by Alanis Morissette, 1995.
Oh,
mentioned earlier, today is our last day of the summer sermon series. I did it. That's based on the book that I am working on, the book entitled The Sacred Undoing, Belief Beyond Bullshit. I appreciate you allowing me to work through this because I've learned there's a couple of chapters I think I'm going to change out and use some other piece because it just didn't fit the way I wanted it to. The one that we're going to do today, I intentionally saved for the end because part of what it's going to say is don't put so much authority in your pastor. And I figured we shouldn't start a sermon series. I'm going to try to tell you what to think and then be talking about, well, don't pay too much attention to what I have to say about it. So we'll be talking about that as the last one today. It'll be much earlier in the book, though. The title for this message is Church Authority, Who Gets to Speak for God? So let's be honest. If you want to see Christians get, you know, a little twitchy, just bring up the word authority. Nothing divides a potluck line faster than who gets to decide about what counts for being a faithful Christian. And trust me, if you've ever seen us Presbyterians argue over whether the potato salad should have mustard or mayonnaise in it, you already know authority matters. So for centuries, the church has strutted around basically saying, you know, we got the answers, we got the power, we speak for God. But if history teaches us anything, it's this. When the church starts claiming absolute authority, somebody is about to get silenced or excluded or burned at the stake. And listen, I say this as an ordained PCUSA minister. I have the robe, I have the stole. I've even memorized the Book of Order. I did at one point memorize it, and to be fair, mostly because I was going to be forced to sit in the room and thoroughly question about it by the Committee on Preparation for Ministry and then take a national examination on it. But nevertheless, never let it be said that we Presbyterians don't like our order, particularly the Book of Order. And it's true. We Presbyterians love our decently and in good order thing. We really do. But let's tell the truth. Church authority hasn't always been about order. Too often, it's actually about control. The dangerous dogma that we're looking at today, as we have throughout this series, as a different dangerous dogma each week. Today, we're looking at this, that the church, the leaders, the structures, its traditions, speaks for God with unquestionable authority. That if a bishop or the preacher or the denominational office says it, well then, God said it. And when you believe that, the harm actually starts coming fast. Women get barred from pulpits. LGBTQ plus folks get locked out of communion or out of ordination or even out of the church building. Survivors get silenced to protect the good name of the church. Colonization missions to other nations, well, they get baptized as God's plan. That's not faith. That's hierarchy with a halo. And if you want a biblical gut check, as we heard in today's scripture reading, Jesus himself said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones are tyrants. But it will not be so among you. Now the "but it will not be so among you" part, much of the church seems to have forgotten that part. Instead, it spent centuries acting like a divine HR department handing out pink slips to anyone who didn't fit into their tightly defined rules. Now, to be fair, PCUSA has tried to correct some of this. We've intentionally built a system where there is no one single person who has all authority, unchecked authority. Power is shared between teaching elders and ruling elders and people in the pews even. Decisions are made in councils and in sessions and presbyteries and synods and the General Assembly. It's not perfect. Trust me, I have watched enough General Assembly Overture debates to know it is not perfect. But at least our polity admits that the Spirit doesn't show up only in pulpits or wearing collars. The Spirit shows up in community. And sometimes, yes, that means we move a little slower than, say, a committee on constitutional amendments. But honestly, maybe that's the point. Maybe moving slowly when you're able to, when you're able to move slowly and listen to more voices, inviting more perspectives, maybe that is the point. Maybe it is better than sprinting towards what you believe to be certainty. Besides, if you've ever watched Presbyterians try to vote on something, you know it's a miracle that we get anything done at all. Which I suppose some folks would argue that is proof that the Spirit really does work in mysterious ways. But here's the danger. Even in a system like ours, the temptation to cling to authority over all others' things is still strong. And when the church clings too tightly, people get crushed. Enslavement was justified from pulpit. Segregation was enforced with scripture. Queer folks were told that they were abomination in the name of church order, and survivors of abuse were told to be quiet for the sake of the church. That's not Jesus. That's institutional self-preservation. And the church, biblically known as the body of Christ, was never meant to be a fortress for protecting power. It was meant to be a table where the excluded find welcome and where the Spirit just might blow the napkins off the table and there isn't one thing you can do about it. So, what if we flipped the script? What if authority in the church isn't about who gets to be on top, but about who is willing to serve? What if true authority isn't found in robes or in titles, but in the authority, the priority of love? Now that kind of authority is worth trusting. The kind of authority that is worth trusting isn't the kind that silences questions either. It's the kind that actually makes space for questions. And let's be honest. We've all seen what happens when churches confuse domination with direction. They turn pulpits into pedestals, confuse control with care. They hide behind polity when they don't want to wrestle with people's pain. And they make hierarchy holy even when Jesus was making hierarchy nervous. But Jesus showed us another way. The kind of authority that washes feet and does not point fingers. The kind of authority that doesn't protect the powerful, but empowers the vulnerable. The kind of authority that makes space at the table, even for the ones that the rest of the world would rather leave outside knocking at the door. Now here's the real kicker. Authority doesn't flow from titles or committees. It flows from the love showing up in ordinary people. Authority is a grandmother who refuses to let her community go hungry. Authority is a teenager who has the courage to come out and claim the sacredness of themselves in the face of rejection. Authority is every small act of courage that chips away at fear and builds a wider welcome. If you want to see the love show up, don't look at the bishop's palace or the denominational offices. Look at the margins. Look where it's always been. I mean, let's be real. In a time when Christian nationalism is trying to claim God's authority to silence dissent and enforce domination, well, the church's obsession with hierarchy is not just outdated. It's dangerous. If the church is going to claim authority today, if it's going to claim authority, let it be this kind of authority. Let the authority be claimed to break down walls instead of build walls. The authority to feed people instead of shame them. The authority to call out empire instead of bless the empire. The authority to listen before we legislate. The authority to stand with the least of these, even when it costs us everything. That's the kind of authority that Jesus modeled. And it's the kind that's worth keeping. And let's push it even a little bit further. Authority worth keeping doesn't cling to certainty either. It risks vulnerability. It doesn't measure success by how many people are in the pews, but by how many lives are being lifted up. And it doesn't settle for managing the church by branding it in public. It dares to embody the messy, radical work of love in community. Authority worth keeping should make empires tremble and neighbors feel safe. If our authority doesn't make room for more justice, more joy, and more humanity, well, it's not worth the stole that is hiding behind. So yeah, I may be your pastor. I may have reverend in front of my name. I may even know how many pages are in the book of order. Spoiler alert, the answer is far too many. 215. But the real authority here, it doesn't sit in my office. It doesn't sit in Louisville with the denominational headquarters. It doesn't even sit with the General Assembly. And God bless all the committees. The real authority sits around a table of mutuality. In this community, in the love that keeps breaking open our hearts, our structures, and our certainties. And if that's true, then church authority isn't something to fear. It's simply something to share. Amen. Thank you.
This song is called Heaven as Well by a band called We Three, also to 2023.
Theme is going to be, like, there's no way she's going to have music for that. Wow. Thank you for that. Yeah, that was amazing. I appreciate it. Music tells the story a lot better than I ever can, so I really appreciate what you do. It's amazing. Let's take a moment to bow our heads together. You can take this as a moment of meditation, to grab a hold of words that you're needing right now in this moment, or just to breathe in and breathe out, or accept it as a prayer. Let's bow our heads together. May we remember that authority is never about domination. It's about lifting each other up when the world has tried to keep us down. It's about listening to voices long dismissed. It's about building tables wide enough that no one stands outside. May we be quick to laugh at our own pretensions to power, and quicker still to hand power away to those who have been denied it. May we see that the sacred moves in messy circles of community, not in polished thrones or top-heavy hierarchies. Let the spirit of love loosen our grip on control. Let it widen our imaginations. Let it guide us into a kind of authority that looks less like ruling and more like serving. And when we are tempted to cling to old structures for safety, may we instead risk the wild, liberating call of love, kind of love that makes new community possible and tears down walls and calls us to rise up together. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one, made of love and happiness for all the days of your life. And may you share that love and happiness in your actions and your words with all the people you meet.
Thank you.